It's April 1st. I'm Brian Dean Wright, former CIA operations officer, and this is The Wright Report. Hey, good day to you, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to The Wright Report, your daily news podcast. Yes, it is me, your host, Typhoid Mary, who now has a sinus infection. So that's great. Well, anyway, it's actually terrible for lots of reasons. Maybe the biggest one is that today is a pretty darn special day. It is the one-year anniversary of the launch of The Wright Report. And I had some great plans for us that was going to start over the weekend and throughout this week, but that's just going to have to wait. In the meantime, I have asked my wonderful sound techs to bring back a very improved version of AI Brian. And I think that you're going to find him to be better than before, a little less breathy. That's the idea anyway. So without delay, let us get to the news with some hopes that I will be back soon. Antibiotics and God willing. But nevertheless, here we are. AI Brian, take it away.
Good day, ladies and gentlemen. I have four briefs for you this morning that are shaping America and the world. First up, we look at the State of the Union this morning with relatively good news about the economy, some bad news about immigration, and national outrage about how the White House handled Easter celebrations over the weekend. Second, President Vladimir Zelensky of Ukraine fired some of his most important advisors over the weekend. We'll talk about why we should care. Third, we travel to Western Africa this morning to talk about the country of Guinea. As it turns out, it is the Achilles heel of China's war plans. More on that in a bit. Fourth, late last week, the White House ordered short and long-haul truck drivers to buy only EV rigs in just 8 years' time. We'll discuss why so many drivers, truck manufacturers, and grid operators are aghast at the news. Later, a personal reflection today about the one-year anniversary of the Wright Report. That's today, actually. But before we get to that, let's get to our top story of the morning. We begin today with a focus on the State of the Union. And that's because we have a new special poll out from the folks at the Gallup organization. And this poll's noteworthy, I think, because they've been tracking 14 different issues for over 20 years, asking Americans what they're most worried about. In other words, we've got a 20-year picture of the state of our union. And this year, once again, the number one issue of concern of Americans like you is the economy, or issues related to it, like inflation. There was a bit of good news, though. The number of worried Americans is down a bit this year from last. That's not to say that things are great. They're not, just slightly less bad. Next on the list of Gallup's concerns is crime and violence. And that's interesting because the Biden White House and media outlets continue to report that crime and violence aren't much of a national concern. America's overall crime rates, they say, are way down, and you shouldn't be worried. And yet, in Gallup's poll and others, Americans like you are worried. And that's a very curious disconnect, which we last discussed in detail back on March 12th and 13th, if you missed those episodes. But nevertheless, rounding out the list of top five concerns after the economy and crime are the issues of illegal migration and the federal debt. And we've covered both during our State of the Union series. For instance, we've covered extensively how the federal deficit and debt are at record highs, plus record interest payments too. Also, we've discussed alarming estimates of a national default in the next 15 to 20 years. At least, that's according to the budget modelers at the Penn Wharton School of Business. As for the illegal migrant or alien crisis, we've covered that too. But here's what's interesting. Of the 14 issues that Gallup polled, it's the one issue that had the biggest jump of Americans who are worried about it. Most other issues actually fell in terms of overall concern. Digging into the data, though, there's a clear partisan split. Republicans and independents are worried a great deal about the collapsed southern border, while just 27% of Democrats felt the same. And that likely helps explain why the White House and Democrats now refer to illegal aliens as newcomers that wording or phrasing started about a month ago. In fact, we heard that spirit of welcoming the newcomers by Vice President Kamala Harris last week. She met with the leftist president of Guatemala, Mr. Bernardo Arevalo. They spoke of America investing about $5.2 billion in his and other Central American nations to help the people of that region. But while Mr. Arevalo said he welcomed the cash, he also suggested that perhaps they didn't need it. Instead, his people should just be allowed to go to America without permission. Mr. Arevalo said that migrant workers like those from his country should be able to go to the U.S. whenever and however they wanted to. Quote, "It is a huge mistake to dehumanize and criminalize people that are just exercising a fundamental right, the right to move." End quote. That statement might seem surprising to some, but not Right Report listeners. You may recall that I explained this Marxist position back on December 27th, with leftists arguing that human labor should be able to move across borders at will, just like businesses can. They believe that vetting or otherwise preventing migrants from going anywhere as they please is morally indefensible and a corrupt feature of capitalism. Be that as it may, letting in 7.2 million illegal aliens into the U.S. over the past 3 years has led to a myriad of problems. In fact, we saw one example of that last week. An illegal from China drove onto a U.S. military base in California and refused to leave or explain what he was doing. I first briefed you on this pattern last September when the FBI, Defense Department, and CIA acknowledged that they are tracking at least 100 similar events where Chinese nationals approach, trespass on, or even smash through gates and fencing of U.S. military installations. We've also seen Chinese divers near sensitive NASA facilities. As listeners may recall, these Chinese nationals use the same scripted response when they're eventually approached by military police or local law enforcement. That suggests the over 100 events are all coordinated by the Communist Party leadership in Beijing. And that's likely the case in California this morning at the base at 29 Palms. The Chinese man who bum-rushed the gate remains under arrest this morning, with investigators trying to understand his exact motivations. One final thing to note on the border crisis. A new poll from Newsweek magazine asked Americans what they thought about an increasing number of illegal aliens who are falling from the border wall as they try to go up and over. In some cases, the illegals die from the fall, but in other cases, they're seriously injured, leading to millions of dollars in healthcare costs, in Southern California especially. According to the Newsweek poll, most Americans blame the illegals for the consequences of their lawlessness. About 50% said illegal aliens are responsible for their injuries or deaths, with 17% saying it's the fault of the federal government. A final 13% blamed state or local governments. Lastly, this morning on our State of the Union coverage, we've got one more contentious issue to talk about. The Biden White House's handling of Easter over the weekend. The Christian Holy Day was yesterday, of course, and Mr. Biden's team chose to do two very controversial things. First, they declared that the beloved Easter egg celebration on White House grounds could not include any egg designs that had religious symbols, like a cross, nor could the egg paintings have any religious themes or messaging like Jesus is risen or Christ is king. The second controversial move was that the White House issued a number of decrees celebrating events or people other than Easter or Jesus. For example, they announced the remembrance of the migrant activist named Cesar Chavez, who, ironically enough, opposed illegal migration. But what got Mr. Biden and Democrats into very hot water and national outrage over the weekend was their celebration and proclamation of something called the Transgender Day of Visibility. It was created by a leftist activist back in the year 2009. That makes it one of 28 days and 3 months of celebrations and holidays promoted by self-labeled queer activists each year in America. To be clear, neither Mr. Biden nor the White House were under any obligation to promote Trans Visibility Day, and they could have observed the date today in order to give sanctity to the holy day of Easter. But that was not the decision of Mr. Biden and his party. And that decision led to a massive backlash over the weekend. Mr. Biden faced allegations of purposefully degrading the Christian holiday, knowing it would likely upset the political base of Mr. Donald Trump. And it certainly did. Mr. Trump and his campaign demanded Mr. Biden apologize for what he said. Trump's team called it a blasphemous act. Trump's team noted that Mr. Biden likely would not have done this on a holy day of the Islamic faith, for example. So why not give that same deference and respect to Christians? The White House, to be clear, says the outrage is about nothing and that they proudly stand next to trans Americans. And that is why, in all likelihood, we can reasonably expect some continued debate about the White House actions over the next few days. And with that, folks, let's take our first break of the morning. I'll hold off on deeper analysis and opinion on our first block of news, especially on the social issues. Probably best that human Brian handle that with a bit more care than AI Brian. But nevertheless, when we come back, I've got more news for you this morning from around the world. For subscribers listening at rightreport.substack.com, I offer you my sincere thanks. Meanwhile, for my other loyal listeners, I offer you an equal thanks too. We'll be right back. Well, I am hooked. I'm hooked on bubsnaturals.com. Every morning, folks, I use their collagen peptide powder in my coffee, and I do it because it helps me with my joints. It tackles my aches and pains after all those years of beating up my body, doing that silly spy stuff. But with Bubs Collagen, I just feel better. Bubs also has another product that I love. They're hydration packs. I use those before and after the gym. Keeps me going strong, just like the guy who inspired these products, by the way, a fellow named Glenn Doherty. He was a former CIA officer and Navy SEAL who sadly was killed in Benghazi. But his spirit of tenacity and strength is the bedrock of every Bubs product. So folks, go to BubsNaturals.com. And when you buy from Bubs, make sure that you use promo code RIGHT. You will get 20% off your order when you do. Again, that is BubsNaturals.com. Promo code RIGHT, W-R-I-G-H-T. And trust me, your joints will be so happy you did. I guarantee it. I got an email from Mark and Kathy in Central Ohio about JaceMedical.com. Brian, they wrote, we heard about Jace from your podcast and we ordered some antibiotics and our cholesterol medicines. We just wanted to make sure that we have peace of mind in case things go south, and we're now set. So much appreciated. Well, Mark and Kathy, you are welcome. And this is why I love being so choosy about my ad partners. I can find companies like Jace Medical. They provide life-saving prescription medications delivered right to your door. And by now, you all know how easy it is. You just go to JaseMedical.com. You fill out a simple online form, and in no time flat, you will get your medicines. And in some cases, you'll have a quick phone call with one of their board-certified physicians to make sure you're getting exactly what you need. But either way, it's a great service. So go to JaseMedical.com. That's JaseMedical.com. And when you enter promo code RIGHT at checkout, you are going to get a great discount on your order. Again, folks, that is promo code RIGHT, W-R-I-G-H-T, at JaseMedical.com. That's JaseMedical.com. And do this today because there is no telling what tomorrow might bring. Welcome back to The Right Report. Let's continue with our briefs this morning with a pivot towards international news. First, we begin with surprising developments out of Ukraine. Bloomberg News reports that President Volodymyr Zelensky continues to quietly fire more of his top staff this morning. 8 officials were removed over the weekend, with a longtime business partner amongst them. The president's office announced that there would be more firings today and over the next week. They were vague, though, on the rationale, saying it was for, quote, optimization, end quote. This comes weeks after Mr. Zelensky fired his top general and sent him to London to serve as the ambassador, a move widely seen as pushing a potential rival far from the political scene. The same is true with a national security official who this week will be sent off to the country of Moldova as ambassador. As for what's driving these personnel changes, speculation continues to focus on Zelensky's frustration and anxiety with how or whether his nation can fight the remainder of this war. European diplomats have openly speculated that the war could go on for at least 2 more years, but probably 7. As I shared with you back on February 28th, that's a serious problem. Kiev has a major shortage of both manpower and war material. To refresh our memories, Kiev has lost about 70,000 fighters who were killed in action. They've also lost another 100,000 wounded or otherwise combat ineffective. And that's quite bad because Ukraine's total number of soldiers they have available is far less than 1 million, with a total national population of 31 million. That's why this morning, the Washington Post is reporting that entire villages and small towns in Ukraine have been emptied of military-age men, either killed in action or serving on the front lines. Mr. Zelensky and his military are growing so short of manpower options that, much like the Russians, they too are considering pulling men out of prisons to fight on the front lines. As for why we should care, listeners will recall that Mr. Biden and Congress have already spent upwards of $100 billion on this war, and there's likely another $60 billion on the way if we are to believe Republican House Speaker Mike Johnson. He has said that after Easter, he'll bring up a new bill to give Ukraine at least $60 billion in new aid. Democrats in the House and Senate are very much in agreement, some Republicans too. However, other Republicans say that if Speaker Johnson moves forward with the spending bill, they'll force a new vote to throw him out of the speakership. They argue that the war is futile or that we don't have the money to spend on it. So if Johnson pushes forward, they'll push him out. The point then is this. There are multiple battles brewing in Ukraine and America this morning over the future of the conflict. Mr. Zelensky is fearful of losing power and losing the war, so he's pushing out his rivals. That includes old friends and popular generals. Meanwhile, House Republicans are battling with each other and whether to deficit spend another $60 billion on this same troubled war. So that is why we should expect growing fireworks on this divisive war in the coming days. We could see a vote as early as next week. Next up, we're off to Western Africa this morning for some intriguing news out of the country of Guinea. As a quick refresh, we first went to this country all the way back on the 18th of May. At the time, we were watching the military government there send in troops to the streets to deal with local opposition who were opposed to military rule. As we discussed, that was a serious problem for the world. That's because Guinea is a major supplier of gold, diamonds, iron ore, and most importantly, bauxite. In fact, Guinea has the world's greatest reserves of bauxite, which is refined and smelted into things like aluminum. And they're serious about exploiting that resource. Guinea plans on tearing up over 200,000 acres of virgin forest and farmland to dig up more bauxite to satisfy aluminum demand, mostly for the world's electric vehicles. But there's one special buyer of Guinea's bauxite supply that we're here to talk about this morning. And as you're about to see, there's an important reason for why we should care. Here's that news. The company Aluminum Corporation of China announced late last week that it's growing increasingly concerned about its supply of bauxite from Guinea. The reason? This little African country provides 70% of China's entire supply of bauxite. Bloomberg News announced a few weeks ago that the number will likely rise to 90% within the near future. And if China were to lose that supply because of those local uprisings against the military government, Beijing would then lose virtually all of their bauxite. That would be especially problematic for the communists who use it for a wide range of their war materiel. That includes planes, ships, missiles, and explosives. And that would affect Beijing's ability to launch a war with adversaries, especially with Taiwan or the United States. And that probably helps explain why the Aluminum Corporation of China issued its report last week acknowledging its growing concern about an over-reliance on Guinea and needing to secure other suppliers in places like Indonesia or Australia. And with those facts and data, folks, let me offer you my brief analysis and opinion. Over the past year, I've often shared with you how America is deeply vulnerable to China, especially our supply chains. This is one of those rare examples, though, of how China is vulnerable, too. So vulnerable, in fact, that we might call it their Achilles heel. And that is why if we had good leadership in the White House this morning, they'd be laser focused on infiltrating the government of Guinea and offering it whatever it takes to gain control of their bauxite. We could secure the stuff immediately or whenever we requested down the road, like when Beijing invades Taiwan. Alternatively, the Pentagon and CIA should draft plans now to target Guinea's ports and target China's ships sending bauxite back to Beijing. And that's what I'll be watching for. Little hints that our war planners understand this opportunity and are willing to execute. More to come. And with that, we move on to our final piece of news of the morning related in a way to Guinea. Because as it turns out, America might need more bauxite than the Chinese do. And that's because the White House announced on Friday that starting in the year 2032, a dramatic percentage of America's heavy-duty trucks must be electric. By 2032, 50% of new vocational trucks must be electric, which includes things like delivery vans, school buses, and fire trucks. Meanwhile, 35% of short-haul and 25% of long-haul trucks must also be fully electric. Those, by the way, are the semis that you often see on your highways and interstates. Taken together, the White House said last week that the goal is to push America's trucking industry to reduce their carbon dioxide emissions. They say trucks represent about 25% of our transportation's CO2 emissions. The rest are largely passenger vehicles. As you'd imagine, the response to these new Biden rules was fast and furious. The Independent Drivers Association blasted the decision, saying that the industry is 96% owned by small or singleton truck drivers, and their 150,000 members won't be able to afford the all-electric move. Meanwhile, truck manufacturers like Volvo, Cummins, and others warned that the technology for short and long-haul EV trucks is too new and untested to mandate. Finally, other trucking and consumer groups added that the charging infrastructure for these big rigs isn't in place and won't be for at least a decade. And that's factually correct. As we discussed during the Dirty Green series back on August 17th and 18th, EV truck stops would require the same amount of power as a small city. You'd also need that power to be available at night when most drivers stop and rest for the evening. And that's a problem if you're relying on mostly solar panels for your power production, obviously. There's also this: EV truck stations would require a massive amount of new infrastructure, like substations and power lines, plus new designs on docking stations for big rigs, and that's why the trucking industry is aghast this morning. They say that the aggressive timeline of less than 8 years is both impossible and irresponsible. They anticipate likely increases to consumer goods and supply chain kinks if this plan moves ahead. And my friends, with those facts and data, let me offer this one final piece of analysis and opinion. As I shared with you a couple of weeks ago, China again leads the world in total emissions. They were up last year. In fact, China continues to emit more carbon dioxide than all other industrialized nations combined. And that's been true for years. That means that no matter how many EV trucks we deploy, no matter how many truck stops we build out, and no matter how many solar panels we have that try to collect the moonlight, none of that matters, because China's emissions continue to eclipse everything we do. And that's why we're likely to hear renewed focus on something called carbon capture and sequestration. Bloomberg News reported over the weekend that there's a booming business in Southeast Asia to fill old oil and gas fields with carbon dioxide taken from the air and injected into those old fields. To be clear, this concept involves young science, and there are a lot of questions about financial costs. Some people reasonably fear it's not much of a solution at all, but then again, neither is building out a EV truck stop that charges the batteries of big rigs at night using solar panels. Not a lecture, just a thought. And with that, ladies and gentlemen, we conclude this morning's episode of The Right Report. But I've got one more thing before I let you go. We'll be right back. Smithfield, North Carolina, Edgewood, New York, El Paso, Texas. Three different cities with one thing in common. They all have factories that make clothes for American Giant. Yes, folks, it is the company that is revitalizing the American textile industry. And as they do, well, they're also revitalizing our spring wardrobes. Well, I did mine. I've gotten jackets, jeans, t-shirts, socks. I also have a pair of their joggers and a pair of their shorts. And I'll tell you why I'm investing in these clothes. Every time I wear American Giant, I know that I'm wearing something special. I feel the quality, the durability, and the pride that goes into each and every piece of clothing that they sell. I promise you, these are the products that will last you for years. So do what I've done. Go to American-Giant.com. And when you do, you are going to find a closet staple for every part of your spring days to come. Plus, when you go to American-Giant.com, you are going to get 20% off your first order. Just use promo code RIGHT at checkout. Again, that's American-Giant.com. Use promo code WRIGHT and you will get 20% off your first order. So let's get this country going again and let's make America giant. Somewhere this morning in capitals in America and Europe, leaders are planning how to best seize Russian financial assets. We spoke of this in early January and all the related threats to the U.S. dollar. But it could also have terrible impacts on our pocketbooks, too. So if you're looking for ways to diversify your investments, and boy, we should, consider physical gold and silver.
and consider American Hartford Gold. They are the precious metal dealer that I use and trust. When you give them a call, they will explain how to protect your savings and retirement accounts by purchasing physical gold and silver, and feel very comfortable using American Hartford Gold as they have an A-plus ranking from the Better Business Bureau. So either give them a call at 866-353-2694. Again, that's 866-353-2694. Or just text them. Text RIGHT, W-R-I-G-H-T, to 65532. And gosh, that's easy. Again, text W-R-I-G-H-T to 65532. And when you do, they are going to give you up to $5,000 worth of free silver on your first order, depending on your total purchase. So give them a call at 866-353-2694 or text my last name, W-R-I-G-H-T, to 65532. And folks, buy that physical gold and silver with American Hartford Gold.
Welcome back to The Right Report. I've got one more thing before I let you go. It's a personal reflection today on the one-year anniversary of The Right Report. Believe it or not, 1 year ago this morning, I kicked off the first episode of The Right Report. And what a year it has been. Last August, I shared how those first months were really tough. I had some former colleagues who did not want me to succeed, so they threw some roadblocks in my promotion and marketing efforts, plus my ad sales. And that was a challenge to work through, very dispiriting. But there were also important victories in those early days that you might not have known about. For instance, the good folks at ArcSeed Kits. You've heard me speak about them, and here's why. They were my very first advertiser, and that family-run business gave me a huge boost when I really needed it. That's why, to this day, I don't charge them to run their ads. Their loyalty and belief in me in those early days means a lot. And that's why I sure hope that this spring, you give them your business if you're so inclined. Some good folks run that small farm located in Michigan. They're pretty darn neat. At any rate, the next big victory was getting lots of paid subscribers and one-time donors. And let me be clear, you all saved my bacon and this podcast. As I shared back in August and again in January, I've been targeted by folks who don't like me on the left and right, and that's limited my ad revenue. But thankfully, that's largely evened out. I've now got a small cadre of companies that support me, and I love to support them. I sure hope you're able to buy their goods and services as you're inclined. Meanwhile, there's another set of incredible listeners who have been so wonderful to tell a friend about the podcast and leave reviews on their favorite podcast platform. And here's something I haven't told you that actually really matters. A few weeks back, I asked y'all to leave me a nice review on Apple or other podcast platforms, and about 300 of you did. But that made The Right Report jump up 60 spots in the news charts. And that's fantastic for when people are looking for a new podcast. So if you haven't left a review and wouldn't mind doing so, I'd be much obliged on this one-year anniversary for a little extra love. Finally, let's talk about the future. All in all, we're on a stable path. My critical need, though, continues to be for an experienced scriptwriter. As it turns out, that's been very difficult to find. To be fair, I've met with some wonderful people who want to become writers, which is great, but so far, none have the notable experience that I need. I just don't have time to train someone unless I cut back on the length of the podcast a bit. We shall see. But in the meantime, I'm happy to report that overall, things are looking good. My one hope or dream is to go on a really big podcast as a guest, like with Joe Rogan or Ben Shapiro. That exposure would lead to the growth of listeners that I very much need. So there it is. With one final note on the future of the podcast, I've got some special thanks for the people who are helping and investing in me to make the next year the best one yet. First, I have about 30 founding members, which is just incredible. To them, I say thank you. I'm so very humbled by your gracious support. Thanks to my subscriber relations manager, Steph. I appreciate you very much. Thanks, sis. A special thanks to for my sound crew, which patched together many episodes when my voice was falling apart. And also, I offer a big unexpected thanks to all of the former colleagues who said I would fail or tried to make that so. I don't say that with sass, actually. I now appreciate the hurdles and obstacles they put in my way. They made me stronger, more tenacious, and more stubborn. They also left me with a base of listeners who can hear my hard work and resolve with each and every episode. And that's why I thank you all again so very much. So let us raise our Wacker coffee cups in the air. We toast this morning to another year of great facts and data to come, plus some good analysis and opinion. And with that, ladies and gentlemen, we conclude your morning brief. As always, I will see you tomorrow, God willing. Until then, I leave you with the creed of every good spy and every wise American. They're the words from the Gospel of John, chapter 8, verse 32. And you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Good day.